All right, thanks so much, Steve. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Wendy Snyder. Our next guest has asked for anonymity. He will only give his first name. He doesn't want to be known by his last name. I'm surprised all of our guests actually don't ask for the same service. I'm shocked that every one of our guests doesn't say, could you please just not give my name out? Terry Kay is his name. Terry is the self-proclaimed office hobo, having spent 500, count them, 500 days in his office. How is this possible? Let's ask him. Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
We're confused.
Very confused.
Yeah.
Here is a person who lived in his office for 500 days. I know the reason, but why don't you tell the reason to everyone else?
Yeah, absolutely. I was struggling financially. I think there were a lot of things that were going on in my life that I was looking for answers for. And at the time, there was a 3-week period where raises and bonuses were frozen at work indefinitely, where I had my identity stolen. Someone filed an IRS tax return on my behalf, so I had that indefinitely sort of postponed. And I had a surgery, too, that I received a bill for. So it was a huge swing, something in the realm of $5,000. And at the time, for me, it was a lot of money. So I had a choice.
That's a lot of money for a lot of people. And quite honestly, they say that everyone's, what, one paycheck away from homelessness.
I think there are a lot of people out there in that situation, definitely.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell by looking at someone, but, you know, not everyone has these high-powered banking accounts that they, what do they say? You're supposed to have, like, an emergency fund.
They
like,
say between 3 to 6 months, but I don't know too many people.
I might have a day.
Maybe a day, yeah. Yeah. So you're in some fairly dire straits, and then what do you decide, Terry, at that point?
Well, you know, I've got an option, and I think this kind of confuses people because I talk about having choice. Now, at that point, my choices weren't all that attractive, but, you know, I could have downsized my living situation. I looked into that, trying to find cheaper housing. Nothing was attractive to me, and I wasn't saving all that much money, so that was out. I've never been into credit debt. I've always been pretty good with my money. So I didn't like that option either, and I had already spent a lot of time, over a year, working 60-hour work weeks, doing, you know, 2 jobs at a time. And I was exhausted. I'm a creative type, so I like to be able to write, to work on creative projects, and I wasn't doing that, so I was unhappy. So I just remembered at one point during the week, there was an event with my work, and I was asked to bring some stuff back to the office after the fact. And we're talking, it's, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I walk into the office, and it occurs to me that there's no one there. There's no one at the office, but there's no one really in sight. And it just seemed like it's, you know, like a blank spot on the map. So I hung out for a while. I'm just curious to see if anyone walked by. I had a girlfriend at the time, and I talked with her about it a little bit, and she thought I was kind of crazy. Because I was like, look, you could probably stay here overnight. No one would notice, probably for a while. So I kind of back-pocketed that idea. When all the financial turmoil sort of started to pop up, I kind of took and ran with it.
So where did you go? Where did you sleep? What did you have there? Did you have a toothbrush?
Yeah, toothbrush is number one. So what I started to do is slowly, kind of like a frog in a boiling pot, started to move my stuff into the office. So, you know, it began with a couple bigger items. Like all of a sudden there was a guitar there. So what I didn't want to do is move all my stuff in at once because I think people would have noticed that.
Yeah.
But the way it did it over, you know, a week, 10-day period, moving stuff in slowly, no one seemed to notice.
You didn't clear this with anybody. You didn't talk to management. You didn't clear it with anybody. You just started doing it.
No, I don't think that's the kind of thing that a lot of people are amenable to, per se.
Right, and if they say no, you got nothing. You could always do it, and, you know, what do they say? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Sure, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
And no one was on to this, Terry? There wasn't a worker or two who said, boy, it seems like you're here all the time. You're the first one here in the morning. You're the last one here at
hardest
night.
Hardest worker.
Boy, are you a good worker. That never came up?
Well, you know, I did get commendations on my work, you know, after the fact. But no one seemed to notice. I think part of it was, you know, I'm aware of people's schedules. I'm aware of my own schedule. I pay attention to these details. And if you do, you can easily sort of work around those. And that was really important to me, to not put anyone out. I didn't want to inconvenience anybody. I felt like that, to me, was sort of the biggest thing I wanted to avoid.
Are you currently still at this place?
No, I've been gone for about a year.
Did they ever find out?
No.
Wow. After 500 days.
my coworkers never knew. There are a couple stories that I'm kind of saving for my book, which I'm hoping to put out soon. So I know I probably have to have a conversation with my boss soon. I'd love to sit down with my coworkers and talk to them about it. I mean, it's possible that I could sit down with them and they say, you know, Terry, this whole time we knew exactly what you were doing. No one ever said anything, though. So
you should put out a book and you should print it on your office printers, I think, just to keep the streak alive. Wasn't there an overnight cleaning crew or anybody who noticed you, or wasn't there security cameras that might have captured you?
Oh, security cameras.
You would think, right?
Yeah, no, there's, it's a small office, small company, so there's no security. But the cleaners were the bane of my existence because those guys did not keep a consistent schedule. And so that, I think, was one of the hardest things to deal with, trying to avoid them and make sure that they didn't, I wasn't inconveniencing them, which I wasn't always successful. Those guys would show up at really odd hours. So that was tough.
I don't see how an employer would really mind this. I know starting out in radio, a lot of times you would work a shift and the turnaround was very quick. So very frequently there would be people that would bring a pillow and sleep in the green room on the couch until their next shift. So I just don't know that an employer would care about this, although 500 days.
It's almost a year and a half.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Putting this story out there, I get a lot of feedback from folks around the world, and I do think this is a lot more common than people realize. I think it's something that people do think about, and I think that it is sort of one of those themes that you can find within life. You know, if you have a situation that works, and I've heard of a couple of people in radio who have done that, then, you know, why not take advantage of it?
Terry Kay is our guest. He spent 500 days in his office without anybody knowing it. He lived in his office. I'm guessing there must have been a shower or something, right, Terry? There'd have to be.
No, I had a gym membership, so that's in shape.
All right.
Boy, you had everything figured out.
Yeah.
Well, you have to, yeah, because it is a difficult situation. It's not an easy lifestyle, but I tell you what, it was a lot easier than the struggles that I had when I was really having a hard time keeping up with my rent and losing my savings. And that was something that weighed on me a lot more than having to keep a really strict routine and pay attention to those details.
At the very beginning of this interview, you had said that you had talked this over with your girlfriend. Is she still currently your girlfriend?
No, we had a breakup. That was a little bit before, too. So
because I was going to ask, why the heck didn't she just say, hey, honey, move in with me?
Right.
So good thing you...
This is something that people find confusing as well, but we'd been going steady for at that time.
Going steady? Did you say that's just cute? Yeah. I don't hear people saying that anymore.
It's the bee's knees, Wendy, going steady is. Come on.
It was a very adorable relationship. We'd been together for a while. Ultimately, I think a year. But at the time we had that conversation, she did bring it up, and I said, it didn't make sense to me because she wasn't saying that because it was a time in our relationship that was appropriate for that.
Yeah.
She was saying that because she felt sorry for me and the struggles I was having, which is very nice, but I knew it wasn't the right thing. We didn't have the most stable relationship at that point. I think we both had some things going on in our lives that we were struggling with, so that didn't seem right. So I couldn't take her up on that because I knew I would just be simply...
Sure. Did you entertain guests? Did you have company? Did a girlfriend come up maybe and visit you at your home?
Butt on the copy machine?
You know what I mean? Yeah,
like
that kind of thing. Did you have that going on at all?
Well, it's interesting is that even before this idea came to mind, there were a couple times where after work hours, I would have people come over. And that wasn't, you know, not a tryst situation, but, you know, a situation where, I'd have people come over and we would meet on certain creative projects. So I'd utilized that space in the past. So it was nothing new for me to be able to host folks there, as long as I knew that we weren't having a late night meeting or if somebody wasn't, going to need that space. So.
And how are things now financially and homestead wise? You doing well now, Terry Kay?
Yeah, it's a good question. This whole process has allowed me to save up quite a bit of money, and I've downsized my life, I think, to sort of minimize the distractions towards meeting my ambitions. So. Right now, I'm not even in town. I get to leave town a lot, work on a lot of different projects. I work half the hours I had been working because I don't need as much money. I built a tiny home in the back of my truck, which now is my permanent home for the time being. So that's allowed me a lot of flexibility in reaching my goals. So I have this idea of essentialism that I want to have every action, every hour of my day be essential towards meeting my goals. And this has allowed me to do that. So some people ask,
great
like,
way
oh,
to look at
all this
it.
Money. Why don't you move into a place? I said, well, that's not my priority right now. It will be at some point, and then I'll have to sort of shift my goals then. But for now, this works really well.
Wow. What a great way. Honestly, that's such a great way to look at it. And you know, the stress that people endure with their daily commute, that was never a problem for you.
Oh yeah.
Just walk. You were there. You just showed up every day.
Just
you woke
wake up.
Yep. I'm here.
I saved 216 hours off my commute, I calculated.
That's fantastic.
Well, keep in touch with us and let us know when that book comes out, because I'm really curious as to all the details and what your ultimate goal is. Can you share that?
Yeah, I'm working on a TV show concept right now, so I'd love to be a full-time writer and then, you know, production with TV as well. So I'm working towards that. I have a few projects out there right now that are in development that, you know, we'll see what happens.
That's
with.
Great.
Well, when your story is told, Bill and I could definitely play the part of the radio hosts who interview you.
Yeah.
So keep us in mind, Terry.
I'll do that. Thank you guys so much.
Terry, great talking to you. Thanks so much. It's Terry Kay, everybody. Spent 500 straight days living in his office, and they didn't know. They had no idea.
Continued success to you, you sneak.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye, Terry. Wow.
I don't think it's so bad. I think it's a really smart idea, and I really wonder if employers would really have a problem with that.
That's the question is, if you were his boss, what do you, like, let's say somehow you figure it out, what do you say to him? I guess it's probably company policy in most places to say, yeah, we can't have this go on. What if something terrible happens to you at night? We're responsible for that, right? But how do you, what reason other than that could you give them for now? Or else half the workforce would be living there at the office.
We could have like a big slumber party.
We could have a
here,
huge
guys.
Slumber party.
I feel like he might have like spinal injuries from just laying on the ground. That's
well,
be...
he must have figured out some way to craft some kind of an almost bed, right?
Inflatable
There's
mattresses.
There's a couch somewhere.
Yeah.
Almost every office has a reception area with a couch or something. So
you could just sleep in the chair like I usually do during the show.
During the show. I noticed you doing that. All right. We'll come back. We've got more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN.